the life of the seed. This is the part of the seed that will produce another generation of plants, which will in turn bear seed. So what Jesus was saying is that the Word of God has life in it. And that the Word of God, when we hear the Word of God and we embrace the Word of God and we apply the Word of God, that the Word of God brings life into our lives. So in John 6:63, Jesus said, "My words are spirit and they are life." Amen. So, you know, the Word of God is alive, and it can change your life. You know, yesterday morning, my wife and I, we went to walk around the Mona Dam with John, Pastor John. And you know, I felt very fit. When I started to walk, I said, "Boy, I'm feeling fit." And so I started to run. And you know, well, after I ran a little while, I didn't feel fit any longer. Praise God. And I said it to them. Praise God. Amen. Because fitness is relative. Amen. Praise God. But it's 1.6 miles around the dam. And so we went around one corner. We went around to the other corner. And Pastor John was doing some sprinting. And I said, "Well, I think he said to me, "Daddy, come, man." So, you know, he sprinted off and I sprint behind him. Well, you know, I can't really keep up with him, but praise God. But I didn't do too badly. I did one sprint, about 70 yards. I did another sprint, and a fourth sprint. And I said, "Wow." You know, 8 years ago, I was diagnosed with cardiomyopathy. My heart was weakening. When I stood up here and preached, my heart began to hurt me when I preached. I didn't say anything, but I preached. And yesterday morning, I was sprinting like a young boy. I passed two ladies and I'm saying, "If I want to know who's the winner, now I know." Of course, I didn't think they were talking about me, but praise God. Amen. But you know, but guess what? I got a word. 8 years ago, I got a word. And that word declared that, you know, the word said, "You have done great works for God." And the devil is trying to destroy you, but Jesus has destroyed the works of the devil from over your life. And I held on to that word and I embraced that word, and I tell you, about 1,000 times after that, I the devil said to me, "You're gonna die." And I had to say, "Devil, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord in the land of the living." I had to say it over and over and over, because there was a battle up here. But guess what? The word, it had life in it. It had an embryo that would spring up into life and bring healing. But my responsibility was to ensure that word was not aborted. That word was not aborted. You see, when you begin to doubt and you give up and you say, you can't bother, God does not love me, Why did this happen to me? You know, by God's grace, I never once said, why did God allow this to happen to me? I focused on the fact that it was the devil that was trying to destroy my life. And I fought the devil. I did not fight God. Because God is my strength. God is my healer. God is my deliverer. I cannot fight him. Hallelujah. Amen. So, whenever we get a word, which is the seed from God, that word has an embryo or a promise that is at a rudimentary or early stage of development. Like a seed, if that word is not properly nurtured, it can die or be aborted. Amen? Now guess what? In the seed, you have this area here, which is the cotyledon. You have food. You have starch. And the seed coat is the seed armor. The seed has its armor of protection. But it has, the embryo gets food from here. Amen? And we need, in order for the word of God not to be aborted, we need to feed that word. Amen? We need to read the word, obey the word, apply the word, and pray and have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and that word will not be aborted. Amen? Praise the Lord. Can we give the Lord a clap offering of praise? Amen. Hallelujah. So, the Bible says, do not despise prophesying. When people prophesy at the end of praise and worship or at some other time, do not despise it. Don't diss it. If it's for you, it represents life. It represents healing. It represents deliverance. It represents a change. Don't throw it away. Amen? And remember, the Bible says, the things of God are foolishness to those that are perishing. Amen? For some people, that is foolishness. Don't follow them. They are perishing. Don't follow them. Amen. Follow Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. Let's get on to today's message. But let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your words are quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. We thank you, Lord, that your word pierces even to the dividing asunder of our soul and our spirit, and that your word is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. Yes, Lord. Cause your word to be quick. Cause your word to be powerful. Cause your word to be sharper than a two-edged sword. Cause your word to pierce even to the dividing asunder of our souls and our spirits. Cause your word to be a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So, what does it mean to follow Jesus? When somebody says, I am following Jesus, what do they mean? When you say you are following Jesus, what does it mean? What do you mean by that? Are there different ways that people follow Jesus? Well, praise God. For some, following Jesus is not understood as a formal call to a disciple-master relationship. Amen? For some, following Jesus is not understood as a formal call to a disciple-master relationship. Amen? In other words, following Jesus It's really a call for us to have a relationship with Jesus, just as how his disciples had a living, walking relationship with him. Now you might say, well, Pastor, how is that possible? Because Jesus died, he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, he's no longer on the earth. How can one have a relationship with Jesus and he's no longer on the earth physically? And I want to emphasize physically, he's no longer on the earth. Well, we're going to look at that later on. But for some, when they say they follow Jesus, it is seen as a spiritual attachment between ourselves or themselves and Jesus. No requirements on our part, just a spiritual thing. Amen? So they say they're following Jesus and they come to church and they just sing two songs and move to move and read to read, and they go home and say, yeah, I'm following Jesus. Nothing else to it. But, you know, it's more than a spiritual attachment. Amen? For others, it is agreeing on a set of Christian doctrines. Amen? So, if I know these doctrines by heart, I'm cool. I'm following Jesus. Whether or not you apply them, it don't matter. You know them. For some, that is what it means to be following Jesus. Amen? For others, joining a Christian church. I become a church member. You know, I'm following Jesus. It doesn't matter whether or not I live or I change my life and I live a life that is pleasing to God. The important thing is that I am a church member. For some people, that's what it means to follow Jesus. And then, for some, it's keeping the Ten Commandments, like the rich young ruler. He came to Jesus and he said, Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, keep the commandments. And the young ruler said, Master, I have kept all of them since I was a youth. And when I look at that, you know what I realize? Youth can keep the commandments. Amen? Some people say, boy, Pastor, youth can't keep the commandments because youth have holy power, you know, things, hormone in the body, and them very active, and them can't keep quiet, them can't keep the commandments. But guess what? This guy said, from him was a youth, he has kept every commandment. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. So it's possible. When I was a youth, I didn't keep any. But praise the Lord. Amen? But there are youths that can do it. Amen? Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. And I'm not saying that any youth must follow me here. Amen? Praise God. I didn't know Jesus. Praise God. So, literally, following Jesus is one living person following another. Jesus is alive. Amen? Jesus rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and he's alive. Question. How did Jesus relate to his disciples after his ascension to heaven? Amen? And I believe that's very relevant to the topic here today. Amen? How did Jesus relate to his disciples after his ascension to heaven? Praise God. And you see, that is important for you and I to know. Because if his disciples could have related to him after his ascension to heaven, it means that we can do that too. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. So, in Acts 1, verses 24 and 25, we see that they asked, while he was in heaven, they asked him to choose Judas's replacement. Amen? Praise God. It says, then they all prayed. They all prayed. Oh Lord, you know every heart. Isn't that interesting? God knows every heart. And that includes your heart. God knows every thought in your heart. God knows every pain in your heart. God knows everything that you are going through in your heart. And you know what is the big thing? He not only knows it, but he cares. Hallelujah. He cares for you. He cares about the things that are going on in your heart. Hallelujah. So he says, show us, they said, show us which of these men you have chosen as an apostle to replace Judas in this ministry. For he has deserted us and gone where he belongs. That sounds rough, doesn't it? Amen? But they said, Judas has gone where he belongs. Amen? But praise God. So what do we see here? We see here that they involved Jesus in their daily lives. They had a relationship with Jesus. Although Jesus was in heaven, they had a relationship with Jesus. And they did not make decisions unless they asked Jesus his opinion. Amen? And so, you know, to follow Jesus, when you follow Jesus, you involve Jesus in your life. When you follow Jesus, you don't make any decisions unless you pray about it and you wait on the Lord to give you direction. Amen? And remember, Jesus said, I go to the Father. But he said, I'm going to send you another comforter, like unto myself, the Holy Spirit. And he said that the Holy Spirit would live inside of us, and he would lead us, and he would guide us. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus Christ, who is living inside of us, and he's speaking to us, he's leading us, he's guiding us. Amen? Hallelujah. So, when you are a follower of Jesus, you see, you can know Christian doctrines, you can know the Ten Commandments, and yet you do not involve Jesus in your life. And I didn't finish the story of the rich young ruler. After he said, I've kept all the commandments since I was a youth, Jesus said, one thing you lack. One thing you lack. He said, he was very rich, you know. He said, sell everything that you have and give it to the poor. Who knows? That's how you discover who follows Jesus. And the Bible says that he became very sad. He held down his head and he left because he had great wealth. Amen? So, you know, following Jesus, it's not an easy thing. And Jesus said it. He said, it's a hard thing to enter. But to be a follower of Jesus, you have to be prepared to give up everything to follow Jesus. Amen? That's the truth. You know, some people think that eternal life is cheap. Eternal life is not cheap. Remember, what is eternal life, you know? Eternal life is life eternally. It's life without end. Life forever and ever. It is not cheap. When I go and buy some multivitamins to try and extend my life, it is not cheap. But guess what? Can't give me eternal life. Amen? Can't give me eternal life. Praise God. So, they asked him to choose Judas's replacement. They involved him in their lives. Praise God. Then we see here in Acts 2:47, he added to the church all who were being saved. He was an active part of the church life. He was a participant in church growth. Some people think, you know, that the pastor controls everything. But no, the pastor is not in control of anything. I'm an under shepherd, under the good shepherd. And Jesus said, I am building my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Amen. And in case some of you don't realize it, you know, this church is not pastor's church. If you go down to the land department, it's not in pastor's name. It's in the name of Upper Room Community Church. Amen. It's Jesus' church. Hallelujah. And he's building his church. Praise God. And so we see here that all the while they were praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. How much time they spend praising God? All the while. You want to see church grow? Let the people of Upper Room Community Church begin to praise God all the while. Hey, to think about that. Amen. David said in Psalm 67, let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. And he says, then shall the earth yield her harvest. Amen. Harvest. When people start coming to the church, filling the empty chairs every week, and we have to buy more chairs, and we have to extend downstairs. That's harvest. But it comes out of praise. Of people that are all the while are praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And it says, and each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Praise God. You know, if you ask me, what does Upper Room Community Church need most for there to be phenomenal growth here? My answer is for the people to be praising God all the while. Amen? Praising God all the while. Who knows that it's not the pastor that make you praise God? Some people, they like to blame the pastor. They like to blame the church. But praise God. Do you know that I praise God more at home than at church? I bust all kind of tune at home. Nobody can tell me quiet. Amen. I don't care how it sound. I bust my tune for Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. What do you see? We need to praise God all the while. Amen. Praise God all the while. And God will, and the earth will yield our harvest, and God will add to the fellowship those who are being saved. Amen. So he was an active part of the church life, the church growth. He appeared to Stephen. Has Jesus ever appeared to you? Has God ever appeared to you? God not only appeared to Stephen, but God, you know, he wants to appear to each and every one of us, and we're not gone loony. He's a living God. He's a real God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says, but Stephen, and I want you to note a little background here. Stephen was about to be stoned to death. Amen. Stephen was about to be stoned to death. I wonder, what would you have done if some people line you up, tie you up, and took up some stones and get ready to stone you to death? What would be your response? And you're a Christian. What would be your response? Would you curse God? nervous for people who are about to stone you to death. It says, but Stephen, full of the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, gazed steadily into heaven and saw the glory of God, and he saw Jesus standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. Amen. He was about to die. He was about to die. And he saw the glory of God. Amen. And guess what? Jesus was standing and watching, but Jesus was not going to deliver him. Jesus was not going to deliver him from death. And he didn't start cursing Jesus. Think about that. And he saw Jesus standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. And he told them, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. Wow. When I read that, I say, boy, Lord, could I do that? That's heavy stuff. You know, some people say Christians are wimps. Is that so? When you read what happened to Stephen, that's no wimp. That's a man. It takes a man to be a Christian. Wimps cannot be Christians. Boys cannot be Christians. It takes men to be Christians. Men who are willing to stand and die for what they believe. Amen? It takes a man to do that. Praise God. Said, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. And after that, them release, you know, in Jamaica where they say, some breed of rocks to unreach him. You understand what I'm saying? Some breed of rocks to unreach him. And you know what he did? He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. Who knows that it takes a man to forgive somebody? Yeah, man, it takes a man. That's heavy stuff. Heavy stuff. Amen? But Jesus was there with him. Amen? Because Jesus was glorified in his death. And even today, when we read that record, Jesus is still being glorified. Glorified by the demonstration of Stephen's steadfast faith in God. Praise God. So that's what it means to follow Jesus. That's another example of what it means to follow Jesus. Then he appeared to Saul. Saul, a murderer. Thank God that Jesus is not partial. Amen. He was on the road to Damascus to murder some more people. And Jesus appeared to him. But he didn't know Jesus. So when he heard the voice, he says, who are you, Lord? Saul asked. And the voice replied, I am Jesus. Praise God. Who knows Jesus can talk? Amen. He said, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Amen. Every time that somebody persecutes you as a Christian, you need to understand they are persecuting Jesus. Amen? They are persecuting Jesus. It says, now get up and go into the city and you'll be told what you must do. Amen? In other words, the Bible speaks about being called according to God's purposes. Amen? You know, do you know that you have people in church who they have committed their lives to Jesus and they have never yet heard what they must do? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? He said, my sheep hear my voice. If you are a sheep, you must hear the voice of God. Because every one of us are called according to his purposes. There's a purpose that God put us here on earth for. Amen. Hallelujah. And that purpose is to serve God. May I say something? I'm going to say it quite lovingly. It's very hard. But you were not saved for God to serve you. Hey! You were not saved for God to serve you. You were saved to serve God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. So, look at this. Saul was on the road to Damascus and Jesus appeared to him. Further along, watch this. It says, now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. Praise God. You know, some people diss the word discipleship. It's like a disciple is a learner, a disciple is a whimper, a disciple can't do nothing. God can't use a disciple. But you know, to be a disciple, it's an honorable thing. And here we see that Ananias, who was a prophet also, but here the Bible refers to him as a disciple. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision. So disciples get visions from God. Disciples hear from God. Amen. Hallelujah. So it's an honorable thing to be a disciple. And he said, here I am, Lord. Praise God. And the Lord gave him a message to give Saul. And I want to ask you this question. If you got this message, would you have backslidden right there and then? Listen to this message. It says, so the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight. No better people can go up on the street there. And inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. Amen. Just get saved, you know. But he's what? Praying. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. So, let's go on. Verse 15. But the Lord said to him, go. He was afraid to go because Saul was a murderer. He said, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles. Do you know that every person that gives their life to follow Jesus is a chosen vessel? You are a chosen vessel. God don't save you to sit on and grow spiritual punch. You know, I went to the beach the other day, and praise God, I didn't back off my shirt, you know, but praise God. I went to the beach and a man stood before me. He had a belly like this, and his side went like that. Seriously, the side was like that. And I watched him. You know, that was a figure eight. Praise God. A man with a figure eight. Man. But, you know, God don't call us to sit down and get spiritually fat. Amen? So, it says here, go for he's a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. Watch this. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, be honest with me. If you just come to the altar to give your life to Jesus, and Pastor Metz come and prophesy and say, you're going to suffer, you know. You're going to suffer for Jesus. What are you going to do? Eh? Because I wanted to tell him how many things he's going to suffer. You know that walking with Jesus involves suffering? Yes, man. Sometimes we think, so well, we can rebuke every suffering and we can rebuke good, we'll never suffer. Praise God. Amen. Now, there are certain things that you rebuke and it going on in the name of Jesus. It says, he must suffer for my name's sake. Amen. Wow, what a job description. And he did suffer. Suffer, 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 suffer. But guess what? He loved Christ. And he counted it a joy to suffer for Christ's sake. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. We see here that there are times when in following Jesus, that Jesus stands beside his people. It says, but the following night, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer. He was being afflicted. He was suffering. But God was cheering him up. Amen. Praise God. And that's what we need to do. When we are suffering, you know, if we happen to be suffering or to be under trials, we must ask God to cheer us up. Amen. Say, be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome. So he stood with him. Amen. So when you follow Jesus, you might have a time of suffering, but Jesus will stand with you. Jesus will cheer you up. Jesus will strengthen you and encourage you, because others are watching. Amen. Praise God. You know, I hope I don't mind me saying it, but you know, I used to have a business. Used to have more than one business. And Amita used to work for me in my business. And I went through a lot of trials and tribulations in that business, in the businesses. Amen? And a worker problem, money problem, stock problem, all kind of problem. But I didn't know she was watching me. How I deal with the problem then? Amen? So if a problem come, and I say, praise God. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Years. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen? And she shared that one of the things that brought her to Jesus was she was looking at how I dealt with my problems, how I responded to my problems. Amen. So, you know, we must praise God. Praise God regardless of what is happening, because he's still God. And there is no other God like unto him, neither is there any other God besides him. Must praise God, man. Amen. And God will bring you out. Amen. God will bring you out. Praise God. Amen. You know, went into a lot of debt with the two businesses. I don't know if I had to close it down or them close me down, but it closed down. Praise God. Amen. But God brought me out. God delivered me. Amen. Hallelujah. I had a good idea, but the business was not really a God idea. Amen. Blessed us for a time, but God had a greater work. Praise God. Which was to come here and say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So we need to praise God. He will stand beside us. He stand with us. Praise the Lord. So, in concluding, the disciples in Acts followed a Jesus who was involved in their decision making and every area of their lives. That's what it means to follow Jesus. To follow a Jesus who is involved in your decision making and in every area of your life. Praise God. Question: is Jesus a part of your life? If you made 10 decisions last week, how many of those decisions involve Jesus? So, well, you know, Pastor, one at a time, then we kind of remember, you know, I'm just, Jesus, what you say? Amen? But you know, it should be 10 out of 10. Amen? Should be 10 out of 10. Do you involve him in your decision-making processes? Is there a student-master relationship with him? Do you look at Jesus as your master, as your good shepherd, who teaches you and leads you and helps you? That's what it means to follow Jesus. Amen? That's what it means to follow Jesus. You know, it's so easy to believe that if I know the 10 commandments and I don't apply one of them, that I'm following Jesus. So easy to believe that if I can become a member of a church, that I'm a follower of Jesus, and the life that I live does not matter. So easy to be deceived into believing that. But to follow Jesus, let me tell you something. It's the most privileged thing that any human being can do, can be involved in, to follow Jesus. Amen? And as I said before, if you are a wimp, if you are a weakling, you can't follow Jesus. It takes a man with guts, a man with strength of character to follow Jesus. You know, one of the stories in the Old Testament that always blessed me is that David was at war and he was thirsty. And he just made a comment. He said, oh, how I long for some, I don't remember all the words, but he said, oh, I long for some fresh water. And one of his men heard. Now, between them and the water were enemy soldiers, perhaps hundreds of them. And this warrior, the Bible says that he broke through the line of the soldiers by himself. He fought them and killed them, caught the water, and brought the water back to David and said, drink. And David said, no, man. I can't drink that water. You risk your life to give me that water. You never drank it. Said, I'm not worthy. I'm not privileged.
What you say? When I look at that, I say, boy, then this whole people say, Christian a wimp. Eh? How can they say that? The Bible says that some of them, when they said deny Jesus, are going to chop off your head, some of them said, chop it off. And then chop it off, you know. So I will not deny him. Takes a man to do that. Takes a man to do that. Amen? Praise God. Could we stand, please? Praise God. Hallelujah. The songwriter says, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Praise God. Amen. When I gave my life to Jesus, I had about 8 close friends. And every one of them refused to continue being my friends. Amen. Praise God. But I want, you know, I look at it and say, were they really friends? Praise God. Amen. But though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. Amen. I believe that God is speaking to hearts today. Amen. And if you are here today and God is saying, come and follow me, I want to pray with you. If you believe Jesus is saying, follow me, come and follow me, I want to invite you to come to the altar and let me pray with you. Just leave your seat and come right now to follow Jesus. If you believe Jesus is saying, come and follow me.